You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
There's a kind of restless feeling, and it pulls me from within. It sends my senses reeling, and my wheels begin to spin. In the quietude of winter, you can hear the wild geese cry, and I will always love that sound until the day I die. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan from Portland, Oregon, Eileen Massover. Eileen, welcome to Carefree Highway Revisited.
Hi, yeah, it's great to be here, Mike.
It's great to have you with us. So I got to start with the question I always ask people when they're first-time guests, and that is, how did you first get into Gordon Lightfoot's music?
A long time ago. I was in my sophomore year in art school. That was 1970. And that was the year that If You Could Read My Mind came on the radio. And it was all over the radio. And I lived in Philadelphia. And I can recall whenever it came on the radio, just if possible, stopping whatever I was doing so I could listen to it. He was a voice that was remarkable. Very early on, he was in my life. And there were all the other people who were around then, everybody else I was listening to, you know, Joni and James and everybody else. But Gordon, he really touched me. And I think of him as my musical soulmate. His music is different for me than anybody else's.
Well, what a great musical soulmate to have. And I agree with you. There's nobody else like him that I have ever heard or that I'm sure I ever will hear. What do you think is the thing that draws you to Lightfoot's music above all?
Well, first, his voice, especially from years gone by. And then it's his poetry. And it's across all different genres. Love songs, ship songs, the meaning of life songs, whale songs, you name it, you can find it. It's like there is a Gordon Lightfoot song or line for just about everything.
I like the fact that you're saying how versatile he is. And I think there's a lot of people who say, you know, I loved him folk, I loved him rock, I loved him country, I loved him bluegrass, whatever the subject that he was talking about, that it just really rang true. And I think a lot of artists in those days and since, they tend to lodge themselves just into love songs or just into historical things or things like that. And it makes them less accessible. But I think Gordon has really succeeded in transcending a lot of those different types. What's your experience been in seeing Lightfoot live?
It's great to see him live. Just saw him October 22nd in Vancouver at Coquitlam, the British Columbia. And what it's like now to see him live is just an honor to be in the room with him. I'll be there anywhere he plays. He's the man who wrote this music. I want to hear him do it. But what it was like back in 1971 or two, the first time I realized it, I knew he was Canadian. I didn't know he toured. And to find him in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Academy of Music, by the way, was just incredible. I could get in line and get tickets like front row seats, orchestra pit seats. He was right in front of me. And I'm a photographer. I did a lot of photography back then. So I would bring my Minolta SRT 101 with me to concerts, Tri-X film, push it to 1600, and I took photos off and on during the concert because seeing him was just as important as hearing him.
Well, especially because you had such great seats, it would be almost sacrilegious not to take pictures. And this was probably back in the day when they didn't make as big a deal about you can't use flash photography or things like this at those shows. Because they do that at most venues these days. You mentioned the Philadelphia Academy of Music. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Have you ever had a chance to meet Lightfoot?
Thankfully, I get to say yes.
Wow. Tell us about that.
I've met him about 5 or 6 or 7 times, twice in the 70s, and then a couple times waiting outside the venue, and luckily several times being able to go to a meet and greet and talk with him. Can I tell you about the first time?
Totally. Yes, I want to hear it.
The very first time, as I told you, I took photos. So the second concert I went to, which was a year or two later, I had developed all the photos. I had 8x10s. I had 3x5s. I wanted to show him the photos. Actually, I wanted to give him all my photos. So after the concert, my husband and I waited at the stage door entrance at the Academy of Music. And I honestly don't think there was anybody else waiting. There might have been, but I don't remember it. And so I had my box of photos and I was waiting till they came out. And one of either somebody in the band or one of his roadies saw me standing there and said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" I said, "I've got these photos I took of Gordon at the last concert." And he disappeared back into the backstage. And he came back out about 2 minutes later and he said, "Come on with me."
Yeah, I love where this is going.
Right. So we went with him. And he led me to Eugene Ormandy's dressing room. Eugene Ormandy was the conductor for the Philadelphia Orchestra, I believe, back then. And Gordon was sitting there in a chair. He looked really tired after the concert. He was quiet. There were a couple people around. I showed him the pictures. I handed them to me. He looked through them. He liked them. Unfortunately, then he gave them back to me, which I really wanted him to have them, but I didn't feel the need to make sure that he took them. So I took them back, but we chatted for a few minutes and I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was amazing. So that was the first time I spoke with him.
So you had an audience with the man and you were able to do that by virtue of the photos and being in the right place at the right time. And we should all be that lucky to meet the musicians that mean the most to us, particularly as Lightfoot is getting on in years, we don't know how many more times that's going to be possible. So I really envy you, you know, have had that opportunity. So today we're talking about the song Restless, and it's from the Waiting for You album. We'll talk more about that album specifically in a little bit. So I wanted to know, why did you want to talk about this song in particular on the show?
Oh, good question. This song just really speaks to me. It feels like a meditation. And as Gordon said to me when I told him what a great rendition he did at one of his concerts, he said, ethereal, sort of a kind of in a funny way. But I do think he thinks of it that way. It's like in that category of songs for him that are ethereal. And I just connect to it in a way that I just think it's so beautiful. And past his, as he would even say, past his prime, right? It's in the 90s. He's a middle-aged man, but that doesn't have to do with how I hear it. How I hear it is just, I think there are so many layers in it that I still don't understand.
You know, speaking as a musician, I think ethereal is probably the perfect word for it. And I like the idea of a meditation also. And for me, in addition to everything you've said, which absolutely rings true for me, it's perfectly positioned on what many people consider a comeback album. And we're going to talk about the lyrics in just a second. And we're going to talk about this idea that this may have been a comeback album for him. But I think the thing that you said about him being a middle-aged man, I don't hear a middle-aged man singing. I mean, this could be anybody who's just lived long enough to be retrospective. I was that way when I was 18. And I've been that way, you know, at different times in my life since. So in that sense, it's a kind of a universal song, and that's why I love it so much. Now, I got to ask you, do you have any anecdotal stories about the song, how it was important to you at a particular time in your life, or is it just one that has always meant a lot to you?
Oddly enough, it hasn't always meant a lot to me. I got the album when I came out, and I listened to the songs. I kind of put it away. I really didn't connect. I think it was the one song on the album that I felt the closest to, but it's been in recent years that it's come back to me. I think he started playing it in concert in recent years. up until he didn't play it at the last concert I went to, and I was kind of disappointed, but he's played it at like the last five concerts I've gone to. So I think hearing him singing it in concert really brought me into it, because it gets very quiet. There's no drums in this song that I could hear. It just took on a meaning for me that I hadn't quite gotten to before.
Yeah, there is some percussion, but there's no drums in the sense that we think of them in terms of a rock song. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Is there a time and a place or a setting for you to listen to the song that is just perfect? Or is it just whenever you feel like listening to it?
Anytime. I'll listen to a Gordon Lightfoot anywhere, anytime, close my eyes, there I am. I would say that how I see the setting of the song, kind of like a day like today, it's gloomy out, it's cold out.
Yeah. You're talking about the kind of weather you get a lot in Portland, you know, where it's cloudy and it hasn't quite rained, but maybe it's just stopped raining, but it's not raining at that particular moment, where your mind goes all sorts of places. And for me, that's the kind of place that my mind goes to when I'm listening to it. It's a cloudy day. It's late fall. Maybe it's not winter yet, but it's late fall. And as we're going to see in just a second, you can hear birds flying south for the winter. So, you know, it's not going to be long before the snow starts falling, the rain starts falling. It really starts to get cold. And, you know, the earth is going to sleep for a while. So I think we're on the same page with that. Now, I couldn't find very much about the origins of the song when I was looking around. Nicholas Jennings' book mentions it twice in the entire thing. I do know that this is his first album in 7 years. He had said that East of Midnight was going to be his last album. And then 7 years later, he comes back in the early 90s. And in the midst of the grunge and the other sort of mechanical music coming out of the late 80s into the early 90s, here comes this lot of acoustic stuff. And it's pretty sensational to have that. We know that he'd been sober for about 10 years. And we know that one of the reviews, I think it was on allmusic.com, said, if you were worried that sobriety and serenity were going to damage Gordon Lightfoot's muse, you don't need to worry, or words to that effect. So when I started thinking about where this song came from, I thought of the word restless. And the word restless means you're not able to relax. You are feeling either anxious or you're feeling bored. And I have to wonder whether Lightfoot might not have been feeling one or both of those things as a result of this 7-year hiatus since he'd put a record out. So I'm wondering, do you agree with that? I mean, 7 years is a long time to not do what you're called to do. Do you think, I mean, just putting it in a personal, if you couldn't do art for 7 years, do you think that you would feel like it's just exploding out of you? Would you feel the same kind of restlessness that we're talking about here?
You know, I haven't done a lot of art in recent years. So that's a really interesting question. And sometimes I do feel that way. But it's interesting that for all the music that consumed his life previously, 7 years, not putting out an album. He was doing concerts, I think, because I believe I saw him during that time.
Yeah, he was.
So I don't know. I don't totally have a take on that. I also kind of looked at what restless means, finding it difficult to keep still, dissatisfied, or wanting something else. So was he wanting more music, looking for something else?
It's possible the writing wasn't happening for him as much. And that may have been the reason he said, okay, I'm going to stop after East of Midnight. But I do think that it's a very apt title for the song. And as I said, the song is perfect because he's saying, I'm back, and maybe here's the reason why I was gone for so long, or why I decided to reemerge, because I was feeling this sort of restlessness. And I may be completely wrong. He's never gone on record about it, as far as I know. Well, that's all the time we have for here in the public feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.